If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
Yeah, and I think there's different types of artists too. Like there are certain artists that like they don't want to think about that stuff and they just want to make good music. And like those are more the artists that might need like a manager or a label or to like sign on to a distributor to think about those things for them.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. And you can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it.
Yeah! Awesome.
All right. I'm excited to be here today with my new friend, Danny Garcia. So Danny is the founder and CEO of SongTools, which is a platform that helps automate music marketing for independent artists, labels, and managers. He's also a member of the Forbes 30 Under 30 in music for his work with democratizing access to music promotion tools. He's a former artist manager, a serial music tech entrepreneur, and I'm excited to have him on the podcast today to talk a little bit about, as an independent artist, you know, how can you leverage the tools that are available nowadays to be able to cut through the noise and make a sustainable income and build a real community around your music. So Danny, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me on, Michael. And thanks everyone for listening.
Absolutely. And it was kind of fun. We were just talking backstage. We're both Florida natives. And so we're talking a little about like, you know, what can we do to bring music tech to, this part of the country? And so, I mean, I'm excited to talk a little bit more about that. And we've been talking about our, virtual conference, the summit that we do in Orlando, and the magic is swirling in the air. So, you're just like planting a seed there for anyone that's listening to this or watching this that, Florida is a great place to come, especially depending on the time of the year. Maybe keep an ear out for live events and maybe do a quick Google search for live events in Florida from SongTools and Modern Musician if you're interested in participating in one of those live events.
100%. And if you're an artist here in the Florida world, you know, reach out because we're always hoping to connect with people and, you know, go to shows, support, and hopefully help even with the marketing tools that we've built. So there's a lot here in Miami. There's amazing artists, like in terms of like not only electronic music, but rap and hip hop, like Latin music. I mean, it's a pretty dynamic kind of melting pot down here that I'm old, right? Because I grew up here, but left and now back 6 months later and just kind of relearning. So it's awesome to kind of come out and meet people and learn about all the amazing music that's being made here.
Awesome. You know, it's something that I felt like a desire to get more involved in. And I feel like I could do a better job of just like connecting with the local community. So that's part of why I'm really excited about the conversation we were just having and about hosting these events here to kind of bring back some of these, the community hub that Florida and Orlando and Miami have been historically, like, in the music industry in certain, like, decades, and it's been like the place to be, sort of like an LA.
Yeah, yeah.
So cool to kind of make it that way again.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, Danny, for anyone that this is their first time meeting you or connecting with you, could you share a little bit about your story and how you became a member of the 30 Under 30 on Forbes and in the formation of Songtools? How did it start, and what was kind of like the core problem or mission that you set out to solve?
Yeah, yeah. I'm an artist myself. Like, I've been playing guitar since I was in the second grade and was in indie rock bands and rock bands growing up, recording in the garage. So I'm definitely not a stranger to the artist mentality and the artist experience. And I grew up kind of always putting ideas down on GarageBand and later Ableton and things like that. And I always found it relatively easy to, like, record music and get ideas down and, like, even get them out on DSPs like Spotify and whatever, SoundCloud, and before that, YouTube. But I was always perplexed in a way, or just confused as to how artists, I would look at other artists that had whatever 100,000 followers or thousands of streams on their music, and I never understood how that side of the industry worked, or really how to do it, or how to break into that side. So I ended up going to NYU to study music business. And throughout that time, I started a bunch of different marketing, basically, like, companies and agencies, and really, like, with a friend, ended up working in SoundCloud repost trading and Spotify playlisting and all of these different areas that I found really intriguing my whole life as to, like, how to actually get the music out there. And throughout that time, I ended up really, like, learning about how that side of the industry works and kind of making connections that way. But I always saw that there was, like, also a big disparity from the independent artist, experience of saying, like, okay, I've already spent all this money, like, producing my music, buying, whatever, even just like a Logic license is like $200, right? So you've spent a lot of money to get to the point where you've actually got the music up on Spotify or whatever, SoundCloud or anything. And then there's these agencies or different, like, kind of marketing tools that take thousands, hundreds of dollars. And I always saw that there was, like, a different, like, or a big delta between what you were getting out of those campaigns and what you had to pay for them. And so where we ended up coming from with Songtools, and at the time it was called Playlister Club, was, what if we could automate some of this work to bring down the cost? So you didn't have to, like, pay a marketing person, right, to do the work. And if you automate it, it makes it a lot more affordable, more scalable, like, things like that. And so that's what we set out to do first in playlisting, because playlisting was at the time was really what all the artists wanted. And still, in a way, a lot of people are very, very interested in that and wanting to grow. So that's kind of where we came at it from, the Playlister Club, which then became Songtools perspective. And yeah, so that's kind of my background. And, so I'm, like, kind of like an artist turned into a marketer type of person, but yeah.
Awesome. I mean, I feel like I can definitely relate. I don't know how much you know about, like, me or modern musician, but it's basically the exact same story. I toured full time for about 10 years.
Wow.
My family stumbled upon this world. It's like, oh yeah, like, I always really enjoyed this side of it. And now there's a big need for it. And, that's awesome. And you've developed a tool to help automate and just make this more accessible for artists who can't necessarily afford what, like, a typical, like, online business owner might pay for, like, marketing tools. Could you share a little bit about Songtools and, like, what do you say is sort of like your genius zone, or sort of like the sauce that you feel like Songtools has kind of cracked?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the main difference, or, like, the secret sauce, or whatever you want to call it, is, like, for us, is we do it all in one click. So, like, when we, like, set out to build it, it was like, if you gave us Spotify, just a Spotify link, could we get it on playlists? Could we run social media ads? Like, that's all you have to give us as an artist. Or to flip that, we were like, how cool would it be if you could just, you know, give someone a Spotify link and they do everything else and it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg? And that's what kind of what we've built. So what happens on our system is you kind of go in, you create, you know, your account, you find the song that you want to promote. And then on the back end, there's all these different algorithms that are matching your track to the right playlister, right? Or the right audience on TikTok or the right audience on Meta. And you can launch campaigns targeting those people that haven't listened to your track before, or targeting those curators that might be interested in your song. And obviously nothing on our system is guaranteed in terms of like results, but we're pretty confident. Like we've placed over 2 million tracks through the playlisting system. We've run, you know, over 20,000 marketing campaigns through our ad tools. So it's definitely like a scalable thing for us as well. We're not like a bespoke agency, but the algorithm works really well in terms of like kind of matching you with the right people. So that's kind of what's behind it. And what I think allows us to run like these like scalable marketing campaigns for artists. That's kind of where things are moving too. I mean, like as an artist, like tapping into some of these tools that let you kind of just do more with less work, and automating all of the boring stuff, I think is kind of like where you want to be as an artist, because then you can spend more time doing what you love to do and also making better content to then get it in front of more people and kind of create that cycle of you know, great content that gets in front of the right ears.
Awesome. I love that. I mean, that sounds like a dream come true. Just like literally taking the song, the Spotify link, putting it there and having the system do the work, figuring out, you know, what genre is this? Who's going to resonate with it? What kind of campaigns should we run around it? It's almost like having a record label that just like, you know, plugs in, but because it's using your technology, it's able to do it at a fraction of the labor costs required. Cool. That might be a nice segue to, I mean, at the time of recording this, there's just so much awesome stuff happening around AI and and there's maybe a double-edged sword. There's a lot of like controversy or fear around like how it's being used when it comes to like generative music. But as it relates to what we're talking about right now, like a marketing tool or software development, it's sort of like a golden age. I'm curious to hear your perspective on AI and where things are headed. And if an artist is here right now and they're kind of feeling a little bit disoriented and they're like, I don't really know, like, you know, like how do I maximize and get the most out of this? What would your thoughts be around them and their relationship with AI?
Yeah, I think AI is such an interesting thing when it comes to music because, a lot of people are scared or not scared by it, but just kind of against it right now because it kind of just in a way automates the whole creation process, which I don't think is the right way of looking at it. I think using it as like an assistant to the creative process is awesome. Like, and I've seen a lot of people do that where maybe you use it as a way, like as a song starter, and then you kind of pull that into whatever, you know, DAW you use and build a song off of that, or just bounce ideas off of it. I think that's a great way of using it. I think more than anything, aside from the creation side, you can look at like AI agents, right? And things to kind of help you automate the other stuff that you need to do as a professional artist, whether that be like email reach outs or content creation, like in terms of album art and things like that. Like I think a lot of artists are using it that way. And that's amazing. I mean, I think more than ever, it's definitely lean into it because why not? You know, I don't know. What do you think about it?
Similar line of thinking as you. I think right now it's there's a lot of different use cases for it, and the low hanging fruit is like the stuff that you don't enjoy doing, and it's necessary. It's like, cool, like, you know, make that part easier, like free up your time so you can focus on the parts that you do enjoy. But also I'm with you in that as a generative tool, I think most people would agree that like just going to and like prompting it and not doing any sort of creative things is not both, it's not very fun, and it's also like the output's not going to be great or not gonna be as good as it would be if you were actually more of like interacting with it. But I do think it's easy to overlook too the flip side that, like, as a producer or as someone that could like use these tools, you can like get some huge leverage on using those tools. And like the role of a producer is really important. You know, it might be the most important part of like, you know, producing, you know, this song. And so if you can put your producer hat on and then use these tools as if you were in a studio with 10 other or 50 other people, they could be like, hey, do this, then I mean, gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. That's where I think it's going. You can look at companies like, I'm blanking on the name, the company based in Singapore, BandLab, sorry. Yeah, they have like these amazing creation tools for artists that are like really, I think they're turning normal people into music creators. So it's like the stage even before like a GarageBand or an Ableton, it's like the people that are like just curious about making beats and stuff and then moving that into, turning them into actual creators. Like companies like BandLab are pretty amazing at doing that. So I think more and more it's becoming like this pie is growing of people actually releasing music on streaming services. And I think AI is going to actually exponentially increase that in the coming years, which is something else to think about as an artist. Like, how do you stand out from all of those tracks being uploaded? How do you, dive into your artistry and develop that in a way that stands out more?
Mm. Yeah, that's a great point. And a nice segue into that that challenge or that question, which is, it's already feeling like pretty saturated because it's never been easier to release and record music and put it out. And like you mentioned, like AI is making it even faster and even easier to create, you know, more and more music. What are your recommendations for artists as it relates to being able to actually cut through the noise and get their music in front of the right people and build an authentic relationship with them?
Yeah, this is kind of at the crux of everything we do at Song Tools. So I always say, and like my main like framework about of thinking about this nowadays is going back to like the funnel, creating a funnel around your music, because that's kind of just how across the board, the common denominator of these artists that have been able to build sustainable careers and kind of like approach from like a real professional perspective, like building a business, they've been successful at growing and creating these funnels. And so as an independent artist, one of the things that you can do is think about all the different work that you do post-release as the top of the funnel. So you want, for example, playlists as a way to kind of get in front of a lot of different people, but it doesn't have to be just playlists. It could be organic posts on social media and different, you know, maybe like you're very active on Reddit and like commenting on a bunch of different threads where you mention, you know, your artist's project in a way that's like, you know, obviously cool with the moderators. So there's all these different things that you can do to just raise the awareness part of your, you know, artist project. So that's the top of the funnel. Then you move down to the middle of the funnel where it's like you want to be actually driving fan engagement. So you want to be like converting fans. And for most independent artists, it's not that many, right? Like it's really like at the top of the funnel, it's going to be thousands probably, because a lot of people will see your post, a lot of people will see your song up on playlists, things like that. And then there's like a very small percentage of those people that actually really like what you're doing or really like the song or whatever. Those are the people you want to like latch on to. So whether it's like ask them to follow you on Instagram, ask them to join your email list, ask them to follow your Spotify, that kind of like engagement is really important, because those are the people that will stream future releases and eventually like go to the bottom of the funnel and buy concert tickets or merch or things like that. So that kind of bottom of the funnel approach or middle of the funnel is like the most important place. You have to kind of, and it depends for different artists. Like for certain artists, it makes sense to create a Discord channel, right? And like host their community on there. For others, maybe they're more of like a boomer type and they want an email list, right? So it just depends, but it's like making sure you're engaging the people at the top of the funnel, the middle of the funnel, and then over time, you can start to monetize the people in that community. So whatever makes sense to you, maybe it's like selling an NFT, maybe it's like you're an awesome rock band that can tour around and you go and play shows, but that's how you monetize I think it's a misconception that a lot of artists have, which is like, okay, I have my song, I put it up through DistroKid, and now I just sit and wait, or I post a few times on Instagram and then like wait till I get the money from DistroKid. That's just not how it works. And there's like these different, I think that funnel framework is really good at organizing all the efforts you do, right? Because then you can start to say like, oh, this, when you have a fan interaction, oh, let me like latch onto this person, like go follow me. And then that's how you, I've seen artists successfully build. And you can do this by hand. You can use platforms at different stages, right, to do it. You know, Songtools can help with some of that. Other platforms can help with other pieces. And it's all personal preference. But I think that's the way that I've seen artists be able to stand out. I mean, aside from all the obvious stuff, which is like make great music, right? Like stay true to your artistry. Like all the creative stuff is important. And all the like basic stuff of like making sure you're distributed correctly, making sure that all the, you know, the brand image is cohesive. But taking it a step beyond those things, it's really like building out these funnels. And then one other one is like iterating too, right? So like making sure like you're learning from each release. So putting up a release and like maybe even keeping a spreadsheet somewhere, understanding like, okay, this release had, you know, this many monthly, helped me increase this many monthly listeners, drove this many saves, drove this many followers, and then putting out another one and seeing the delta between those, and then learn it, using that as a way to learn what happened. And maybe using that as a way to inform future releases or future efforts, in terms of like what you're working on. So I think those are the two main kind of areas to look at, and that I've seen some people, the people that are good at it, a lot of success on these platforms.
Mm. Good stuff. Yeah. So it sounds like what you're saying is that as a starting point, it's not really enough to just like release the music and post a couple times on like Instagram. And the analogy that comes to mind is sort of like starting a fire. So if your music is like the logs, it's not enough to just release the songs and put the logs on the fire pit. Like you actually need to have a way to generate the flames or generate the sparks.
Yeah.
And so one of the best ways you can do that is by building a funnel. You know, and a funnel is really just a system, a step-by-step process for them to go from the top of the funnel of discovering you to connecting with you, building more engagement, to eventually making an offer. And Songtools is a great resource to basically help you at certain parts of those steps be able to connect with your fans. And yeah, I'm curious with the, you know, this is probably a question or a challenge that you hear a lot as well, as from artists who maybe monetization and like making a sustainable income is something that maybe they've even like worked really hard and they've built a decent following on socials or on Spotify, but they're still kind of struggling to pay the bills or make sustainable income. What do you see that's working really well right now in terms of maybe some more of like the down the funnel, you know, kinds of things for them to monetize?
Yeah, I mean, live music, if you can, because certain genres can't, or certain types of artists can't, right? Like if you're like a lo-fi producer, might be hard to go and play at a bar or whatever. But if you can play live, like do that as much as possible, because that's gonna, you know, over time, make you more money than you probably would be able to on streaming, and also drive a lot of engagement to your, like, you know, socials and streaming links. So it's old school, but I think live is definitely one of the main, still one of the main ways to do that in terms of monetization. I think one of the other things that I've seen trending a lot are these like direct to fan monetization strategies. And there's platforms out there, like I think like Even is one of those, and you know, obviously there's
our new software. I'll throw our hat in the rink there. Street Team is basically
okay.
The exact category that you're talking about.
Amazing. Okay, so then I'll redo my reference. Street Team is one of those.
There's that, no other platforms that exist. There's only one. It's only
Street Team. Exactly. Yeah. So I mean that's amazing that you're building that, because that's a huge thing. And I think it's, I actually I've been surprised that there aren't more of them coming out. So it's amazing to hear that you're building that, because it is such a, that's definitely moving into the world. Like, that's where the world's moving, and where I think it comes a little bit later for these artists, right? Like, it can't be like the first thing you do. I think focus on like making that framework first, so that you get some sort of traffic and some sort of engagement. Then once you have, you know, those first, like, it can even be like 20 people, right, that sign into your email list and stuff like that, but that really care, you can then start to monetize them through these like platforms. And you don't have to do it in a way that like is like asking for money. There are definitely rewards that you can help give these people, whether it's like access to unreleased content or I've seen artists do like really cool stuff with personalized content, like songwriters, where they're like, oh, I'll write you, you know, a 30-second snippet of a track that is personalized to whatever you want, almost like a cameo. So things like that, that I think, you know, depends what kind of artist you are and what your genre is, but that's definitely monetization wise two of the main things I've been seeing work well for artists. But I think in general, yeah, it's obviously tough to monetize right now. And a lot of these platforms that where you get a ton of, you know, followers on, it's hard to see that kind of translate into income. So I think it is definitely a question mark in the industry, but it's good that more and more people like yourself are developing tools to help with that.
Awesome. Yeah, super smart. So what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, to start with, it's important to like build a relationship with those people and not just immediately kind of go for the jugular in terms of some of these offers. It'd be sort of like asking someone to marry you on the first date. You know, like generally, yeah, like, you know, you want to build the relationship first and make sure that, you know, that you have a good connection before making an offer. But you know, once you reach that point, live shows are a great way to deepen the connection and to monetize and to drive engagement across the board. And you know, there's certain tools. Actually, there's just one tool. It's called Street Team, and nothing else exists for deepening the fan connection. There are definitely other tools that exist to do. I mean, some of the ones that come to mind are like Patreon is sort of an obvious one. I know that sort of exists to deepen, you know, communities, and even sounds like one. There's one called Vault I've heard of that seems cool. Lots of good companies doing good things, and you know, the Street Team is definitely where our heart and soul has gone into, and we think that, you know, there's especially with the Journeys Builder and with the full stack integration with everything from start to finish with the project. I'm going to geek out if I could try to go down like too much of it, but I think that there's a great opportunity for artists right now to build a deeper relationship with their fans, long as they're doing, you know, what you're talking about here on this podcast of like just exploring the tools, exploring you know, what works for them, what resonates. And it's pretty amazing time to be alive, to be a musician in general, due to the rise of technology and how quickly things are changing. I'm curious, you know, you mentioned and this is another like maybe like a somewhat controversial thing for, you know, depending on who you're talking to about it, but like NFTs are something that, you know, sort of had like a rise and a fall, or sort of like a bubble pop around them. Probably for good reason, with like, you know, parts of, you know, like a GIF of a hamster isn't worth like, is it really worth millions of dollars? But I've always felt like music was one of those rare things where it makes a lot of sense for you to have like a digital
100%
one of a kind. So I'd love to hear your perspective on digital assets and where you think the world might be headed, you know, related to those kinds of assets.
Yeah, I shared the same sentiment as you of saying like in music it could be huge, right? And there are definitely like a lot, there is more adoption in the NFT and like digital asset space for music. I think more than anything is like, if it doesn't have to, I think part of the issue with some of those NFT solutions back in the day that happened were that they made it about the NFT in a way, Like, it should have just been like, that's the underlying pipes that this runs on. But beyond what that is, there's all these benefits to using it. And I think that was one of the main mistakes, or like, kind of aside from everything you mentioned, why it didn't like stick fully with music. Because in theory, like, it should work. It would be much better, right? Like, you could, I mean, in theory, like, even like instant royalties off of like a specific file and do the instant splits to the label and the artist and whoever's involved, right? Which is 1 million times better than what exists right now, which takes you 3 months to get paid out and like, et cetera. But for some reason or another, it never caught on. But I think, I mean, it can definitely move into that direction. I think as an independent artist, one of the things you could look at is like using it as a way to drive like more value. And this kind of creates a greater point in the conversation, which is like, in a way, the streaming has kind of like devalued the actual music in a way, because now everyone just has access to it in a free way. So you have to think of other ways as the artist to offer more value. So then you can monetize, like whether that is merch or a concert ticket or online experience or an NFT or whatever, find whatever makes sense to your user base or your listener base and try and offer them that, like a whole bunch of value, which is like a page out of the book of like the world we come from, right? Where it's like, we want to, for all the artists listening and people using song tools, our goal is always to give you a lot of value. Like, that's why we're doing this podcast, like, you know, giving it to you so that you can extract value out of it, right? Take that and do it yourself, like in your artist world. I think that's super important. Now, always think about like, what is my listener getting out of this? And it can be as simple as just an amazing song and with an amazing video, but that value chain is super important, and it does tie into that digital asset world as well.
Mm. Good stuff. Yeah, I think the one of the points you just made there is a really helpful just focal point in general, is just always focusing on what are they getting out of this? What's the value, you know, that they get? And when I see artists getting like tripped up on monetizing their music or the money side of it, it's usually because they're not asking that question enough. They're not focusing on that enough. And they're focusing too much on like me or how I'm coming across and what I'm kind of getting out of this. When, if you take that approach that you just described with like actually like, what is it that they're getting out of it? And how do I provide more value? Then that just unblocks, you know, a lot of that tension.
Yeah. And I think there's different types of artists too. Like, there are certain artists that like, they don't want to think about that stuff and they just want to make good music. And like, those are more the artists that might need like a manager or a label or to like sign on to a distributor to think about those things for them. But I think like as just in general, as an artist, there has to be someone on the team or you thinking about that, because ultimately that's what's going to drive people. Like, you can look at any artist that's famous, right? Like, they all do that in some way or another, whether it's through fan clubs or like VIP tickets, or even just like doing free drops of songs before they're out. And like, there's so many things that you can do to like drive engagement. And in the earliest stages, it starts with directly engaging with people, right? Like, a lot of artists that I've seen get success are like literally DMing their fans, the people that like their music. Like, they're having constant conversations with them, whether it's comments or on DMs or on Discord, like that one-to-one. It's like, why, you know, you're not Adele yet, right? You need to like engage with these people and show them that you also care. And so that's another, I think, thing that I've seen a lot of artists successfully do, is talk to the people that are their early supporters and start building that army out as well.
100%. Yeah. So really, especially like early on, being focused on creating real connections and having conversations and engaging your fans is a powerful way to like sort of like fertilizer on the roots, so that
yeah
it can blossom and grow. Sweet. Well, Danny, man, it's been fun connecting, and I definitely just the conversation we're having, I'm like, this guy, like we clearly like live in very similar worlds.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's refreshing to have a conversation like this with someone that is, you know, this level of expertise around this part of it, with the, you know, the artistry, with the music, with the connection, with also the future, you know, thinking as well. I think many, many people, when they just the word NFT just like instantly, like, you know, kind of throws up a guard, which I get.
Yeah.
It's
really
understandable, but also, yeah, it's great to have like, you know, an open, you know, conversation or idea about like, you know, in what ways can those things actually be valuable and used for artists. So thank you for being on the podcast today. This is fun.
Yeah. Thank you. It was awesome. I hope, you know, we dropped some good knowledge there for people and put some like, hopefully people can put some of this into action items. I think, a lot of this is just for me, like observing people that have been successful and just learning myself, just because I'm so intrigued by it. Hopefully people can kind of put this into action items and see some results from.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure they will. And you know, there is some sort of value in just, you know, coming back to the analogy of like fertilizing the soil and just sort of like the mindset and the understanding like what to focus on. That I know for me, like, I'm so grateful for podcasts and conversations like this, where I get to like get in a room with people like, you know, the founders of OpenAI and Claude, and just like see how they think and see how they have conversations, and just that osmosis of like learning from it can save so much time and energy and just help alleviate a lot of unnecessary suffering and unnecessary mistakes and time. So super appreciated. And for anyone that's listening to this right now who is interested in learning more about Song Tools, could you share a little bit more about where they can get started and what's the best way for them to, you know, kind of like the shortest and simplest way for them to kick things off with the tool?
Yeah. You can, it's a fully open tool. We have like, it's free to create an account. So you just go to songtools.com and create an account. It's also, we have some free tools up on the site as well that you can use. So like a landing page builder for your track, a like blogging tool for like SEO, and even like an ad builder that are completely free that a lot of people use, just like unlimited, it's free. And then obviously there are like our marketing campaigns that you can like work on as well. And then we also do like one-on-one marketing consultations with anyone. So if anyone wants to like reach out and completely free, like jump on a call and learn about what you are doing as an artist and what your goals are, and we can help maybe direct you into how to use our tools or just general work, right, to kind of get to where your goals are. So you can just reach out to me. It's my email is just danny@songtools.io, not .com. So that's those are the two easiest ways to get started with them.
All right, awesome. Well, like always, put the links in the show notes for easy access. And Danny, thank you again for taking the time to be on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Michael. And it was awesome. Awesome conversation.
Hey, this is Michael. And I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable. And if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.